kid, they can't do it. Makes us harder, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right, comes back to the left, going long for Gordon. He's out there, and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
All right, Vic Carucci with you from Mobile, Alabama, site of the 2014 Senior Bowl. I will be here all week long broadcasting and giving you a sense of what is going on down here in the search for talent. But Jim Donovan, who is sitting in for Nathan Zagora today, and he is back in Berea. Jim, we know there's another search going on, the Browns search for a head coach, and that is a continuing story that we're going to get into. And I guess the first place we start is after Sunday's conference championship games, how much do they influence where the Browns are in searching for their head coach? Because we have understood it all along that two of the prime guys that they have targeted are respective coordinators for the Seattle Seahawks and the Denver Broncos, and those two guys are going to be busy until at least February 2nd.
Vic, good to be with you, and I look forward to all your week's happenings down there in Mobile, Alabama. But you're right. I mean, as that unfolded yesterday, both conference games unfolding yesterday, and you sit here in Cleveland and you're a Browns fan and you say, okay, how does this affect what we need to get done? And it affects it a ton. I mean, if you are of the belief that Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator of Seattle, is right at the top of the Browns list, and Adam Gase, the offensive coordinator of the Denver Broncos, is right there with Dan Quinn, either a 1A, 1B, or 1 and 2 running at the top of the list as far as potential head coaches of the Cleveland Browns, then yesterday's results implore you to be more patient. Because it's going to take more time now, because they have the off week this week, and they have the game then next week, and then ideally, and it seems that right after that Super Bowl, that's when it's going to happen. So we are not there yet, my friend.
We're not there by a long shot, and it does raise that question about patience, because I know that has really been kind of the whole thought behind this process is, how patient can you be? Mm-hmm. And this was long before we got into these postseason games that now are truly impacting this, at least in terms of the potential of it being another couple of weeks. But I wonder, Jim, if that's a real problem. If, in other words, if you stick true to the idea of getting the right guy, does it matter if you have to wait a little bit longer for that guy?
Well, you know, Vic, you're right. And here's what I think. And I think you've waited this long and you've gone through the process and you have met an awful lot of people besides the people who you truly are targeting. And I think if the Browns had found somebody that they really wanted, that really knocked their socks off, they would have made an offer by now, and they would have gotten into the game, and we would be underway, and we'd be following that new head coach as he selects his staff. But I don't think they're there yet. So I think that they haven't got the person that they want yet, so you have to wait until the process plays out, because you've played along now going into our fourth week. You've played along this far, so you might as well follow it true to form. And don't get itchy at this point in time, because you have to be ready to go when it comes up to your time. Your time is not here yet. And if it's all about getting the right guy, Vic, then you have to play it out until you get that guy.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jim. And I think you can't – it's hard, because you're going to hear – all kinds of people talking about it from a fan media perspective, talking about the idea that, hey, what are these guys doing, and what are they doing wrong that this thing continues to sit out there? But here's another factor in all this. When you watch those games yesterday, the respective performances of the defense of the Seattle Seahawks, the offense of the Denver Broncos, Jim, mm-hmm. I think it made me more excited about the potential that one of those guys could become the head coach here. Because look at the show. Let's start with the later game. Look at the show that Dan Quinn's defense put on. Those turnovers that were forced. Now, this was a team that led the league in that category.
Right.
But then in the fourth quarter of the game, getting three consecutive turnovers. And then the final one being Colin Kaepernick's interception that seals the game for Seattle. I saw that and I said, you know, when you think about the Browns' strength, the perceived strength that they had, that's not a bad place to have a guy with that sort of talent as a coach to take advantage of the talent that you have on the field. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, you got to get the offensive side of it right. But we've been so fixated on offense. If you have a defense playing like that, then you don't have to be necessarily overwhelming offensively. You got to be good.
Because
they're not.
Yeah, they're
Seattle's not.
Yeah.
And they're playing for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and as I looked at the two games yesterday, and look at our situation here in Cleveland, it's why each one of those teams won yesterday, the areas that we are interested in.
Yep.
Denver won because of their offense yesterday and their quarterback play and the game plan that was installed by their offensive coordinator, Adam Gase. And Peyton Manning couldn't say enough about him, enough good about him today and after the game last night about what a great game plan Adam Gase had put in. That's why Denver won yesterday. New England couldn't get them off the field. Peyton Manning threw for 400 yards. They had over 500 yards of offense, and that's the show there. I mean, Denver's defense was good, but let's face it, their offense controlled that game. Likewise, in the other situation, that defense is why Seattle was in that game in the first place and why they won the game in the last place and why they're going to be playing in this next game in the Super Bowl a week from Sunday. And it's because of that guy's defense, Dan Quinn, and the way they played defense. And, you know, Vic, if you go back now, you know, through these weeks of those heart-wrenching losses that the Browns went through, Seattle's defense finished that game yesterday.
Right.
Whereas the Browns defense couldn't finish those games, you know, the last month of the season. They were in position every Sunday to do it, and they could not come up with the play that Richard Sherman came up with the strip fumble when they knocked the ball away from Kaepernick,
right,
with the other interception. So I think you're right. I mean, we, I think, have to be totally patient now with the process. We're almost there.
You know, that point you just made about that Seahawk defense closing it out, that was going through my mind when you wondered. I mean, it was a great game. That was the fun game,
yeah,
to watch. You want your playoff games, your conference championship games to be of that quality and bring that drama. But the fact was, from a Seattle standpoint, as much as people were holding their breath, if they're Seattle fans, you watched how that game was closed out, and that's the term that we kept using,
mm-hmm,
to describe what the Browns weren't doing,
right,
closing games out.
Couldn't finish.
Very, very frustrating.
Yeah. Could not finish. Right.
I think couldn't finish, and very frustrating. And does having Dan Quinn as your head coach, does that guarantee you'll close games out? Of course not. You got to have the matching talent. But I think there's something to be said for putting people in the right position. And mm-hmm, clearly, when Jimmy Haslam and Joe Banner made the change on this coaching staff, one of the things they had in mind, Jim, is that they were terribly dissatisfied with how players either weren't improving, how things were going wrong. And I think those breakdowns in those late stages of games had something to do with it. Obviously, it cost Chud as the head coach's job, but I think it clearly affected the whole staff, and that included Ray Horton, the DC.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, there were things, Vic, there's, you know, too much time, you know, frivolous use and wasting of timeouts, game management, which can kind of translate into maybe a little bit of a chaotic situation over on the sideline. Not, you know, specific to Chud. I mean, Pat Shurmur had his problems with game management on the sideline and timeouts being wasted, you know, first play of the second half or coming out fourth down and one and suddenly it's fourth and six because you lost sight of the game clock or the play clock and you get hit with too much time. Those teams yesterday, and you're right about Seattle. Seattle's defense, which they gave up big plays. I mean, and the big plays came with Kaepernick hitting those runs, him running for, you know, a huge amount of rushing yardage in that game. But still, they stayed steady to their system that obviously Dan Quinn had put in. And they stayed with that system, and the system bore out that it eventually won the game. They may have given up three big plays, but all of a sudden there was a big play from them coming that was going to bail them out.
Right.
And that was just a beautiful thing to watch because, you know, we watch games slip away here so many times this year.
Jim Donovan and Vic Carucci. This show is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 4. Jim sitting in for Nathan Zagura. I think we're going to hear from Nathan by phone at some point during the show. But I am down in Mobile, Alabama, the site of the 2014 Senior Bowl. Jim is in our studios,
yeah,
in Berea at the Browns headquarters. And we've got a lot to talk about throughout the show. We are going to have with us at the bottom of the hour Scott Petrek from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. He'll be with us around 1:30. We'll get his perspective on the coach search and Browns talk in general. We will hear from Gerard Cherry at 2:45. We'll have sound from these conference championship games as well, Peyton Manning, among others, that you're going to hear from. Jim, I want to go back to this with Adam Gase. And he seems like, again, a lot of reports and I'm not really sure what we can completely put faith in with regard to these reports. It's league sourced. My guess is in some cases you're hearing from maybe agents,
right, agents
who talk about this.
Yeah, they're big in this.
And they're huge in this, right? So I think it's mostly agents providing the information more so than the people doing the actual hiring. But that said, Gase was the candidate that I think had people wondering, is this really a guy who's in line to be a good head coach, or is he really an administrative assistant to Peyton Manning? How much does he really bring to the table? I think it's fair to say, beyond any of the I know it's just words and people maybe helping somebody out, Peyton Manning saying good things on the guy's behalf, John Elway saying good things, but I think there's something genuine to this too. Peyton Manning, as great as he is as a quarterback, isn't operating in a vacuum. He needs the help of a good coordinator, and I would think it's fair to say that he believes in Gase, a young guy at 35 who's younger than Manning, has done a really good job to help Manning elevate his game to the highest level it's been of his career.
Yeah. I was reading Peter King in the Monday Morning Quarterback today, Vic, and you know, he obviously spent a lot of time with Peyton right after the game and his family. And that's where Manning just effused these, you know, just glowing reports of what Gase and he were able to come up with all week in preparation for that New England game. And what they, Vic, what they had learned from that painful loss that they had taken weeks earlier up in Foxborough when they had the 24-0 lead at the half in that game, and then they blew the game, and they ended up losing the game after that, and they blew it in overtime, and how they went out of sync in that game up in Foxborough because they were running the ball so effectively, but their passing game got out of sync. Then when the game got tight and they were in critical third down situations, Manning had no rhythm in the passing game because they had run the ball so much, and how they vowed that that wasn't going to happen in this AFC Championship game. Even if they came out and ran the ball well, which they were okay. I mean, right. New England was nothing. But Denver was okay running the ball. It was still the pass that was going to keep them in rhythm and how they were going to have to play that game. I thought that was brilliant that they learned from a previous game, a loss, and turned that into a key component to win the game. And I think this guy, Adam Gase, got very, very high marks in his preparation for a game and how they had to change and take a painful loss and turn it into a glowing win yesterday to get to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, that was very, very well done by them out there.
Extremely well done. And coaching does have to matter. The different, what we're going to find out from Adam Gase, whether it's with the Browns or whether it's somewhere else, and the speculation, again, according to what's been sourced, and we think maybe it's from agents and so forth, is that he may sit out this opportunity to become a head coach, right, obviously down to one team, the Browns, and wait for multiple opportunities, maybe next year, wait till he has more seasoning as a coach. Maybe he's not ready for the position. I think it'd be fair to say that a guy at 35 who's been a coordinator for just 1 year might, in fact, not be ready, but I don't know what ready means, Jim.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, the part about ready that a lot of people in the media jump on is, okay, watch a video of the guy as he does a press conference.
Right.
I'm not sure the press conference test says it all. Right? Don't you? I mean, it's the leader of men thing.
It's the leader.
You're
looking
for.
Yeah, you're right. Vic, let me ask you. I'm going to ask you 2 points about the Denver situation
all
that
right.
fascinate me. Number one, what you're touching on there is he had a box seat, okay, to watching a young head coach come in. And that was Josh McDaniels, and he was with Josh McDaniels when he came to Denver, and he coached on that staff there, and that thing detonated very quickly halfway through McDaniels' first year, and he didn't get out of the second year. Now, that was a brilliant whiz kid, okay, coming from New England, coming over to Denver. He was given all the keys to the castle, and it did not work. Now, Adam Gase had a box seat to watch that. And he might take a step back from that and say, hey, listen, Josh McDaniels is a great coach. But just being a great coach doesn't mean that you're ready to be a head coach, certainly in this league, with all of the responsibilities that go along with that. So that's my first point to you. My second point is, I'm wondering this. Nobody's talking about this. But I'm wondering, if Peyton Manning wins this game a week from Sunday, might he step away at that point? And is the Denver situation as attractive if suddenly you're going to be coaching Brock Osweiler rather than Peyton Manning? I mean, yeah. Manning went through just torture to get that neck ready and get it back. And if he wins another Super Bowl with a different team, hasn't he done it all at that point? He's 37 years old, and you wonder if he's testing fate, if he stays in the game, you know, and gets a really critical injury. And I'm just wondering, nobody is talking about that yet because he's been so focused on this, but he's there and he's got a great chance to win it. And then falling back on Adam Gase, if Manning ever stepped away from the Broncos, is it the situation then that it is right now?
That's a great question. And it would make perfect sense if you are Adam Gase to wait for the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. to wait for what might influence Peyton Manning's decision and therefore influence your future on this football team,
right.
Because are you in fact still guiding an offense that generates a million yards a game and all these points?
My first guess would be
Manning.
No, you're not.
My first, second, third, and fourth, fifth guesses might actually be that as well. So I think there is a certain, I'm going to use the word shrewdness,
yeah.
To this decision process that, first of all, he's not making by himself. You know his agent, who is Bob Lamont, who's mm-hmm. been around the block a few times with this thing too, this coach thing too, in placing his guys in the right places and taking them out of places that might not be so good. So if Adam Gase's stock is strong enough for him to get a head coaching job this time around and the only opportunity exists in Cleveland, and if you're banking on more opportunities next year, but if it goes haywire with somebody other than Manning as your quarterback in 2014, Jimmy, mm-hmm. and there are five or six jobs open that year, are you as eager as another team to call upon him when you say, you know what, maybe he's only good with Manning and he can't make
yeah.
magic happen with somebody else? So my answer to your question is, I think that could be a determinant factor. And if I'm Adam Gase, I don't make up my mind about anything until I see how the Super Bowl comes out. We've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty, for this Football Monday edition. I'm Vic Carucci down here in Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl. And Jim Donovan is on the other side. He's in Berea, Ohio, at our headquarters and at the Browns place and the studio there doing his thing. So we've got much more coming up for you. We want to hear from you, by the way. 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. You tweet us at Browns_daily. So much coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.